Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying ministry love, making relationships work. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12, diffuse conflict in your life. Often the people we have conflict with are those closest to us. In friendships, it seems that we're on again and off again. In marriage, opposites seem to attract each other. But after marriage, opposites tend to attack each other. In church, as the old saying is, we long to live together in heaven. That's the old story. But to live together down here in harmony, well, that's another story. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, Peter instructed, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. The NIV translates it, all of you live in harmony with one another. All of you pretty much includes everyone. No one can say I'm exempt or it doesn't apply to me. Live in harmony does not imply that there is uniformity where everyone looks the same. It doesn't imply unanimity where everyone is in 100% agreement. It doesn't even imply union where everyone is affiliated with each other. But there is one common bond. Harmony is to have oneness of heart, a similarity of purpose. Conflict is inevitable. When two or more people come together, there is present potential for disagreement. Any moving machine will experience friction. The only way to eliminate friction is to stop the machine. In the same way, any living relationship will experience some degree of conflict. The only way to stop all the conflict is to kill the relationship. The goal in operating a machine is to reduce the friction as much as possible. This makes the machine operate more efficiently and lengthens its life. The goal of any relationship is to reduce the conflict as much as possible for the efficiency and longevity of the relationship. So, how do you reduce conflict in relationships? Well, let me give you some principles which will help you diffuse conflict in relationships. First, sympathetically walk in the other person's shoes. The first part of verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind. To be sympathetic means to understand someone's feelings. It doesn't mean that we agree with their ideas. Just understand their feelings. Sympathy meets two basic needs in our lives. The need to be understood and the need to feel like our feelings are okay. When we're sympathetic, we try to understand where people are coming from. Understand their background, their temperament, the circumstances that have shaped them, their attitudes toward the issue. An old Indian saying is, I will not criticize my brother until I have walked a mile in his moccasins. Habit number 5 in Steve Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, is seek first to understand, then to be understood. Francis of Assisi prayed, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be understood as to understand. We may not know all the reasons why conflict has arisen, but trying to understand the roots of it is the first step in diffusing it. Second, remember you're both on the same team. Second part of verse 8. Having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Peter is saying that we're on the same team. We're in the same marriage. We're in the same family. We're in this relationship together. We're brothers and sisters. We don't compete. We complement each other. We reduce conflict with each other by cooperating with each other. Teammates demonstrate three actions that diffuse conflict. Love. Love looks out for the other person's best interests. Love says, let's stop attacking each other and let's attack the problem. Compassion. Compassion doesn't just talk about loving each other. Instead, it demonstrates love by what is said to the other person and how we act. Humility. Humility is expressed by words like tender-hearted and courteous. Love is not proud. It admits mistakes. Humility is being honest about our weaknesses, our needs, and our failures. And then third, give the other person a blessing. Verse 9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for revival, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. In any relationship, there are times of disagreement and conflict. At those times, we're faced with a choice. React with retaliation or respond with a blessing. When we have conflict with another person, it's like there's a small fire and we're standing over it with two buckets, one in each hand. One bucket is filled with gasoline, the other is filled with water. We're faced with a choice. Which bucket to throw on the fire? In real life, our buckets are filled with words. Words of anger and abuse, or words of acceptance and kindness. Words that tear apart a relationship, or words that build up a relationship. The world says, get evening, throw that gasoline. The Bible says, give a blessing, throw the water. Giving a blessing is to give the other person slack, to overlook minor faults. Everyone has a bad day and needs kindness rather than justice. There are times when reconciliation of the relationship is better than resolution of the issue. And then fourth, control your tongue no matter what. Verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. How do we know if we're spiritually mature or not? The mark of spiritual and emotional maturity is the ability to control your mouth, to watch your words. Peter is saying the way to diffuse conflict is to control our actions, because words can wound. Well, let me ask you, is your tongue under control? And then fifth, be a peacemaker rather than a fight starter. Verses 11 and 12. Let him turn from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The job of firefighters is to put out fires, not start them. The job of peacemakers is to diffuse conflict, not to start fights. And in order to do that, we must seek peace in our relationships. Peacemakers don't wring their hands when conflict arises and say, I don't care. That's apathy. Peacemakers don't stick their head in the sand when conflict arises. That's avoidance. Peacemakers don't let people have their own way to avoid confrontation. That's appeasement. Peacemakers intentionally seek reconciliation even when resolution may not be possible. They work hard at settling issues and not starting them. In the end, why should we diffuse conflict? Because it makes us like God. He chose to walk in our shoes by coming to this earth. He demonstrated His love for us by going to a cross to die for us. He gave us a blessing by giving us eternal life. He took the initiative to bring people together as a peacemaker. Would you make a commitment to work at taking the lead in diffusing the conflicts in your life? You have a great day.